Nehemiah chapter number 2, verse number 11. Nehemiah says this. He says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. And I want to preach tonight on this question. Are you building your relationships? Are you building your relationships? I'm going to move quickly. So tonight, if I could just challenge you to think about your relationships with people. And are you just letting them be whatever they are? Or are you really working to improve those relationships? It's kind of the idea of the message. Let's pray together. Lord, you bless tonight this message for a few minutes. Help us, Lord, to be challenged in this area. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated there. The story of Nehemiah is the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, which had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar's army. Most of you know that story already. One man, Nehemiah, saw the need. He had a burden, and he led a people to make a difference. And the Bible says in Nehemiah 6 and verse number 15, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, 52 days. And so Nehemiah saw the need for the wall to be rebuilt around the city of Jerusalem that had been destroyed, and he stood up, he got busy, got to work, got others involved, and the wall was finished. Now, the application, I'm going to quickly jump to it, the application that I want to make tonight is in regard to our relationships, all right? So I'm going to give you a few thoughts about that in just a moment, but I want to first ask you some questions about your relationships. I don't want you to look at your husband or your wife and them shake their head. I don't want you to look at others and we all right back there? All right, everything failed. I thought somebody died. If y'all don't know the stories, I don't have time to tell you tonight, but our flight on Tuesday, somebody passed out on the plane. We thought they were dead. And then yesterday in the airport in Pensacola, somebody did the same thing in the airport. So people around me have been dying. So I thought we had another one go out. It scared me there for a minute. I wanted to see who it was first, and then it was going to bother me. I just keep on preaching. But anyways, it was Brother Joe. I like him. So let me get back on track here. And we'll figure out later what happened. The application I want to make tonight is in regard to our relationships. Brother Luke Bishop. I don't have no notes. I mean, I don't want to, you know, quench the Holy Ghost or anything. New pastor's never had a sound system fall apart right in the middle of his message. I want to ask you some questions. I want you to think about it. Please don't look at one another. Some of you are nuts. My wife would beat me up if I looked at her in the middle of a point. It was talking about me and her. She'd be, look at me again. No, I'm joking. Some of y'all are like, don't do that, okay? First question I want to ask you is this tonight. Are you building a better you? Don't take that wrong. Don't take that as a Joel Osteen. The Bible tells us this, and I'll explain it to you here in just a moment, but are you building a better you? The Bible says this in Jude 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Here's the question. I'm moving quickly. Are you building your relationships? Are you building a better you? Are you doing well right now as a child of God? Yes or no? Or maybe not so well. You're not where you need to be. Let me ask you this question. Where are you spiritually right now? You, not your spouse, not your kids, not your preacher, not the person out of church. Where are you spiritually right now? What is your overall attitude toward people right now? What is your outlook on life right now? I wanted to illustrate it. I don't have a lot of time to illustrate it. I do want to let you out at a fair time tonight. But I just added on to our house. I started April 27th. It's done. We could have already moved in, but we have been gone quite a bit. By the way, a lot of what I've been gone doing is preaching. Hopefully no one has a problem with that. You're just going to have to have a problem if you got a problem with that, because I want God to use me however he sees fit. And we've got good preachers around here that could fill in and be here for that. Another time I was gone was going to pastor's conference. I normally go to those once a year. That's like you men or some of you ladies going to another state for your training, and that those conferences help, and we're able to do that. This one obviously was a planned trip, but but our room is done. In fact, we're probably going to sleep in there for the first time tomorrow night or Tuesday night. I've got to finish some detailed stuff, but it's done. But I tell you what, and I built it from the ground up. The only thing I had help with is Brother Ethan came over one day to help me put some siding on because the sucker was heavy. Miss Audie and I tried one night and we fought over it. So the next day, we called, Brother Ethan. That was really heavy sheets, and then Brother, Brocky back there, Brother Braley is his name, and he came over and helped me change out the breaker box on our entire house. But anyways, from the ground up, man, I built it, everything in there. But you know, one of the number one tools I had was a level. Had to buy a new one during the time because I realized my silver one, I didn't realize it was bent. And what had happened, what I remember doing was I shot a nail through it while we were building the gym. It's got a hole, and it's like right there. So every time I'd grab it, then I realized it had a little bend in it. So I went and bought a new one. And any of you good men know you put notes anywhere, right, Brother Smith? There are measurements. I know you can't see this, but it's right there. And he taught me well. You know what I did from the very beginning? I want to make sure everything was level. I mean, I dug holes in the ground, I poured concrete in it, I put the stones, a level pyramid beam house. Even to this day, I'll still walk around, because you know, houses settle. I'll still walk around, and I'll just say, whoo, the bathtub's still level. Because in our other part of the house, you know, the toilet, like the water leans toward one side. Could I get a witness on that, Brother Duncan's? The Orms, yes. And it happens. But in my house, my new part of my house, I'm like, woo, it's still straight up and down. And then I go outside and I'll get on the window frame and I'll look at it and I'll say, yes, it's still up and down. And you know what? Because I know that if I keep up with that, that when it starts settling a little more, rainy season or whatever, all I need to do, I've got a little floor jack thing, and I can go out there and jack it up and put some little metal pieces that I have in there. And if it has to be lifted an inch or whatever. But here's the thing. I can ignore it. Or I can look at it and say, you know what? Everything right now looks good. Or this needs some attention, or that needs some attention. Are you building a better you? Secondly is this. Are you building a better marriage? How's it looking? Something off? You know, God never intended you to get married and endure to the end. It's okay to have a ladies' trip, a seminar, or whatever, or a guy's trip to Arkansas. And you're like, you know, it's just nice to get away for a day or so. But friend, listen, if your mindset is always wanting to get away from your spouse, something's wrong. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. My parents were married 50 years. You know that. We went to Chicago together, Dad and I, a couple of weeks ago. And he would say this. It's, I love it, because, man, it used to be when people were married 50 years, it was like your great grandparents. You know, with me, that kind of used to spit tobacco in the Yahtzee cup? The grandma. It used to be your great grandparents were like 50 years. My parents had been married 50 years. And my dad would make this statement, boy, I tell you, I ain't been away from your mom this long in a long time. I'm helping him, giving him some brownie points. I'm concerned with people that want to be away from each other a long time. Are you building a better marriage? How is your marriage tonight? Just want to provoke a thought. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:18, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. Whether you've been married a month, a few years, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 plus years, we cannot be idle about our marital relationship. We must be building. Marriage is fun, but marriage is work. Here's another question. Are you building a better parent-child relationship? Are you building a better parent-child relationship? Mom and Dad, what is your relationship like to your children? By the way, not your children as a group, but each individual child. Don't write a kid off. Well, they're my problem kid. Well, they think they're somebody. This is the adopted one. Doesn't matter. They're your child. What is that relationship like to your child tonight? On the flip side of that, children, by the way, I'm a 46-year-old child. You listening? Because I still have parents. So all of us in here that still have parents around, what is your relationship like to your parents? Well, you don't understand. Okay, you willing to live and die that way? You willing to let them die and you have a poor relationship with your parents over some silly, stupid misunderstanding over something at the last holiday? How is that relationship? Hey, you young people in here, you know what? Your relationship to your parents, it's not just about their how they treat you. By the way, if they're correcting you, it's because the Bible says because they love you. Don't get me started there tonight. We'll be here all night long about the lack of training and discipline with so many kids today. You ever sat in the airport for 2 or 3 hours? Sickening. To watch kids throwing fits and screaming and kicking mom and dad and kicking mom and dad's bags and stuff. And their parents are like, now stop. I realize we have to be careful what we do in public, but I got a good way to help them stop. You say it's child abuse. No, it's not. You can abuse a child and you should not. Young people, if your parents are correcting you and having rules from you and having curfews for you and telling you you can do this and you can't do that and so forth, hey, if you want to be a little punk about it, it's your fault you have a bad relationship with your parents. Are you building a better parent-child relationship? In Nehemiah, we see a builder. And I want to use this book to motivate us and to give us some direction in building. What does it take to build better relationships? Let me give you the points here. Skipping some stuff, but let me give you the points here. What does it take to build better relationships? By the way, I don't care what your relationship is like. I think all of our relationships can be improved. Number one, the right foundation. The right foundation. With that house, even though it's pier and beam, man, I had to make sure, and it's hard to do, but I had to make sure to get that all of that dirt just right and those stones just right. And this side would need one stone. This side would need two. And then some wedges in there. And because I tell you what, wouldn't do me any good to get in that jacuzzi tub if I got in there and all the water went to the end. And every bit of that began with the foundation. You builders know what I'm talking about. I let one side of my roof. I've never done trusses before, but I looked at it online and I thought, man, I can do that. This is no joke. I let one side be 2 inches longer than this side. This side was 2 inches longer, and it's just because on one end where I had that center board, I just kind of let it move a little bit that way, and I thought, well, that's not a big deal. I'm going to have plywood on it. All the way to the moment we were putting sheetrock in that bathroom, I could see that 2-inch gap. I knew exactly where it was in the room. When I put the walls up, when I put the sheetrock up, when I put everything, because I didn't get that right. And I'm telling you, we must have the right foundation. You say, what is the foundation? The Bible says it this way, 1 Corinthians 10, I'll just read it to you, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Right relationships with others begins by having a right relationship with God. Look here. When we're not where we need to be in our relationship to them, most likely it's because we're not where we need to be in our relationship to Him. The right foundation. Number two is this, and we'll look in Nehemiah for this. What does it take if we're going to build, if we're going to build correctly? Number one, the right foundation. Number two, seeing the need. Seeing the need. Sometimes we wait till it's too late to see the need. Look at Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 nights, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do. Skip on down to verse 13. I went out by night. Later on in that verse, he says, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem. It said in verse number 15, then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall. He saw that wall that was destroyed, needing to be rebuilt. And we're going to have to see the need. And parent, if you don't have a good relationship with your kid at 8 years old, what do you think it's going to be like at 12 and 13 and 14 years old? You think they're just going to grow out of it? They're not just going to grow out of it. It's going to get worse. So we need our children to be saved, be born again, and God to work in their heart. We need God to work in our heart. We need the right foundation, but we're going to have to see the need. Men and ladies, and I'm a man, and I'm a hard-headed man. But I'm going to tell you the problem in most marriages, 21 years of pastoring and counseling, the problem in most marriages, not all, the problem in most marriages are the men. Our wives are screaming for us. They're telling us what the problem is. They're either emotional or they're heartbroken, or sometimes maybe they'll bite at us, but it's because they've tried to do it. They're trying to do it the godly way in prayer and not nagging. But you're thinking, oh, hey, I got my job and I got to improve at my job. And you're not seeing the need in your own marriage. I suggest maybe we just stop the building on the house for a little while and say, you know what? Man, my marriage is off. By the way, we've been married however long. 22 and a half of the shortest years of my life. We've been married 22 and a half years. We can either ignore the problem or we can fix it. And guess what? It's good when it's fixed. If you as a husband think, well, I could just ignore it, we're just going to keep on going, I'm telling you, you would be better. If you just went ahead and took the time to do what it took to fix the relationship. Now, this is where you don't want to respond if you're a husband. I am a blessed man. She's not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I have a wife, a biblical wife, whose desire is toward her husband. If I walk in the room, say, Miss Audie, let's go. There's something in the fridge. Most nights. If I walk in the room, if I walk in the house and she's on the phone a lot of times, she says, you know what, I'm going to let you go. Preacher just got home. You say, oh, that's just so old-fashioned. It's not good that man should be alone. God said, I'm going to make him a wife. All right, so we have to see the need. Look, he says in verse 17, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we're in? The word distress means calamity, means misery. Is there misery in your marriage? It doesn't have to be that way. Isn't there a reason why you got married? Go find those reasons again. I realize there are bills, there's health, there's school, there's work, there are kids, but your relationship cannot be built around your kids. I love my kids. One adult, she's adulting. One 17-year-old. We're going to the men's trip here soon. I've always jumped in the truck with guys or had them in with me or the van. Josh says, "Dad, I want to ride with you." And I thought the other day, man, I got one more year with him at home, and maybe less. I mean, you know, whatever God does. I thought I'm going to let Joshua ride with me. Man, we'll just hang out together. He could buy my lunch and things like that. We've kept a good relationship with our kids over the years under some very stressful circumstances. Now, sometimes mom gets grouchy. We all just kind of endure, right? Dad's calm, cool, collected, just kind of, you know, everything's great. We have a good relationship, but they're going to leave. Glory be to the Father. They're going to leave the house one day. Either they're leaving voluntarily, or they're going to be tired of seeing Dad in his jammies, and they're just going to say, "All right, we're gone." What are you going to do? They have their... We've been on a lot of trips over the years. By the way, planned on purpose. You make all the excuses you want to make. We've been a lot of places. And they'll say, "Man, I like to do this." And what I'm telling them now is, say, "You know what? Do that when you get married. Do that when you get married. One of these days, Mom and I are going to go drive. Take 2 weeks off. Go drive up to Montana, Wyoming, an area I've never seen before. I love my kids. Just got off a trip with them. But I'm starting to plan beyond that." Why would you want to look up one day? Somebody, one time a missionary's wife falsely said this. I don't know if it was at our church or somewhere. At our church, I think in a ladies' devotion, she's saying, yes, said this. "Well, you're just going to have to get used to the fact you don't know your spouse. You just raise your kids. And when they leave, you're going to look across the table at a stranger." Hogwash. Hogwash. See the need. I got to move. Boy, these would preach. Right foundation. Number two, we got to see the need. Not trying to get on you, guy. I'm not trying to get on you, lady, but I'm just saying, I don't know of anything more important than to be able to come home to a peaceful marriage. Number three is this. What does it take? Desiring a difference. Desiring a difference. I just don't have time. I hung up on marriage tonight. Please apply all of these to your family, your kids also. Because you have to look at each of your kids. Don't you know your kids well enough to know he's being more quiet than normal? Her countenance has fallen. They just walked in after a long day at church and he never goes straight to his room. Or she never goes, "Hey, something's not right." Why would you ignore that as a parent? See the need. Number three, desire a difference. What does it take to build better relationships? Desire a difference. Look what he said in Nehemiah 2, verse 17. "Then I said unto them," you see the distress that we're in. Then he goes on to say, "Let us build up the wall." Hey, let's do something about it. Number four is this. What does it take? Number four, a vision of what could be. A vision of what could be. By the way, quit looking at everybody else and thinking, "That's what I want mine to be." You're a unique couple. You're a unique family. You have unique kids, unique situations. You start building your thing, but get a vision of what could be. He said there in verse 5, "Then I said unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant had found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." He said, I can see what this thing could be. And a lot of us in here, we can dream. And before this auditorium was redone years ago, I had it in my, there are a lot of things I can't do. I have a lot of weaknesses. Two things I just, and I don't say this pridefully, but two things I can do. I can read people pretty quick. Somebody can walk into the church, I can talk to them for a little while and say it. I don't think they're going to stick around. I've said before that person's going to be trouble. Miss Ida's like, no, they're. I said, "I'm telling you, they're going to be trouble. Give it a couple years." I haven't said that lately. Don't worry about it. I just can kind of read people. But I also, before we do something here at my house, I can see it. I can see it plain as day, as if it was already built in that field. I can see it. It's just, I don't know if you call it a gift or whatever, but wouldn't it be something if we just said, you know, I can see how I can get along better with my son. I could see how I can get along better with my daughter. I could see how I could get along better with my wife. We're going to have a vision of what could be, or we're just going to say this is what it is, and we're just going to live this way. A lot of you guys in here, I know it's pastor appreciation, but there are a lot of you guys in here, and you're letting mom do everything, and all you're doing is making a paycheck. All you're doing is making a paycheck. You're responsible for your kids' education. You're responsible for their discipline. You're responsible. Listen, there's something when a dad can walk in a room and just look at a kid and say, stop. And that kid stops. And I don't know what it is, because I know a bunch of good mothers in here that you'll say stop, and the kid's like, okay, I'm going to stop. But man, dad walks in, it's like, right now, poof. And I'm not making fun of you, but there's some dads in here, man, you could tell that to your kid, and you can tell them 100 times, they still won't stop. Something is wrong. You need to take more of a role in your home than just making a paycheck. And by the way, mom needs you to do so. A vision of what could be. Here's another one here, what it takes to build better relationships. Number five is this, teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work. In chapter 2, verse 8, he said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Last part of that verse, and they said, let us rise up and build. Here's the thing. Both parties in the relationship have to work to build it. Both parties in the relationship have to work to build it. Now, I don't counsel ladies. I don't. Two reasons. One, I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm alone with a lady. Two, I do not understand y'all. My wife's a good counselor of ladies. There are other ladies in here that are good counselors and can be good counselors of ladies. But I'm going to tell you guys, even in my own home over the years, the lady wants to work at it. The husband is just too busy, too tired, you're too moody, wife, you don't understand me, you don't know what I'm going through, this is what we guys do, wah, 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 wah. The only way your marriage is going to get better, I'm filleting myself. I was a terrible husband early on. Terrible dad to babies. You dads walk around with these little man purses, these little backpacks on. I ain't carrying a backpack on me with flowers all over it. Now, I'm dead serious here. The older ones are laughing at you, and I'm laughing at you. But you are a better dad helping mom at that age than I was. So you got a good head start. I rarely ever change diapers. I won't change his diapers. And I was only raised with two half-sisters. So when a girl is my first child and I didn't have sisters and it's like change a diaper, it's like, that's not legal. So every time it was diaper changing time, man, it was like, I gotta be somewhere. I didn't realize what time it was. And I realized some of you guys, you roost on the bedpost at night. Your wife's like, get up and change that diaper right now. That was horrible. I tell my wife, listen, I gotta be at work in the morning. That was terrible. When Joshua was born, he would never sleep. She was up all the time. She started seeing visions. No, no, why? She was hallucinating. I'm like, you'll be all right. He'll grow up one day. But you know where somewhere along the way, I started getting it as a dad. I started getting it as a husband. I'm still not perfect, far from it. But it ain't going to work if both parties don't decide we're going to get involved in making this marriage what God wants it to be. We're going to get involved in getting the heart of our children. Once again, we're going to work together, teamwork. Here's another one. What's it going to take? Ignore the critics. You're going to have to get this. Look at verse 19. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn, despised us, said, what is this thing that you do? I really want to hurt it now, but I just want you to get it. Only way your marriage is going to get better to ignore the critics. Because here's what's going to happen, lady. You're going to try to be what God wants you to be, and you're going to have a sister, an aunt, a mother, somebody who has an opinion on that. Ignore it. Husband, you're going to walk around with a man bag, whatever you call that, a diaper bag thing. Man, Brother Daniel, Brother Mark's not here to defend you, so you're on your own. You're going to walk around with that backpack thing. And you're going to be a help to your spouse. And somebody's going to come along. Back in my days. And that's what happens. I'll tell you, I can't believe that. Your wife runs the home. Why? Because you asked for her opinion on things? You know your wife's your boss. No, we submit ourselves one to another. We're one team. You try to get better, expect the critics. By the way, I thought about this afternoon. We try to improve our marriage. Guess who the number one enemy is going to be? The other spouse. You say, well, I thought we were teamwork. Yeah, but somehow doesn't the devil always use that to where you're like, it's a new day. I am going to be the husband I need to be today. And then she wakes up in a bad mood. What? Just like that. Same voice, too. Or she's, you know, I know my spirit's not well. I'm going to get it right. And I just want to love my husband. He's such a hunk. Maybe she said chunk, but I thought she said hunk. And then I walk in. Where's my breakfast? Where's my coffee? Y'all know that happens all the time, right? Don't give up. It's exactly what the devil wants. Get on the same team, but I promise you, expect critics. Well, I just can't. I wish I was a Parker's and could go to Corpus Christi. Wish I could go to the beach. Wish I was the Ogdies. They travel every other week. Ignore that nonsense. There's always going to be critics around. Well, if I had your time, well, if I had your money, well, if I had your this, well, if I had that, go ahead and keep making excuses to your kids. Make your kids a bunch of little victims while you excuse the fact you don't plan anything, save up. And I know different people have different battles, but I'm saying to you, don't ignore. The people who want to ignore you most are the ones who aren't building anything. Ignore the critics. What it takes to build our relationships, the right foundation, seeing the need, desiring a difference, a vision of what could be, teamwork, ignore the critics. Let me give you two more. Number seven is this, prayer and the Word of God. Prayer and the Word of God. If you were to go look in Nehemiah chapter 1 and Nehemiah chapter 2, you know what? When Nehemiah saw the need, you know what he did? He got on his face before God in prayer. Remember, with God, nothing shall be impossible. But right relationships in God's eyes can only be right if they're built upon the teaching of God's Word. You watching? You watching? Let's put that away, because here's the level. Am I the husband this book teaches me to be? Are you the wife this book teaches you to be? Are you the child this book teaches you to be? Are you the parent this book teaches you to be? Listen to me, a lot of young adults in here, and you're trying to do things a certain way. Again, you are a unique couple. You're not just like your sister. You're not just like your brother. It's not the same home. And sometimes you'll have parents, and I thank God mine have been supportive over the years, and Kelly and I have been, we're private people, and they know that. We're just private people. I think that's the way it should be. There are others in our family that will tell my parents every time they get in a fight with their spouse, every time the dog dies. I just don't think our parents need that burden. To pray for us, yes. But my parents have done well, really done well, minding their business since they've been here. We mind ours. We fellowship together, but we mind our own business where we should. But it's sad that some families, the worst critics are those who did a terrible job raising their own kids. And then they've always got an opinion for you about what you're doing or not doing with your kid. Those with terrible marriages have opinions and critiques of everyone else's marriage. And friend, listen, Just ignore the critics and take that plumb line right there. Take that level right there and say, I know they're going to criticize because I'm trying to apply this and apply that, but I want to do things God's way. It takes prayer and the Word of God. The Bible's our level. The last one is this. Here's how I wrote it down. What it takes to build our relationships. Work, work, and more work. The Bible says this in Nehemiah 2:18, so they strengthen their hands for this good work. Proverbs 13:9 says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Let's put our focus back where it needs to be. Let's put our focus back on our relationships. Here's the question again. How are you tonight personally? How are you tonight personally? Right foundation. If you're going to fix you, right foundation, you must be born again. See the need. Preach, I'm not where I need to be right now. Desire a difference. A vision of what could be. I'm going to get myself back to that place where I need to be. Teamwork. You say, it's just me. Teamwork. Well, it's those around you, but more than that, what you have on your team is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Ignore the critics. Get on your face before God. Stay in that Bible until you get through this time in your life and work at it and work at it. How's your marriage? Apply the same truths. How is your parent, child? How's your relationship to your child? Apply the same truths. How is your relationship to your parents, whether you're 13 or whether you're 46 years old? Apply the same truths. Let's get back to building our relationships by the book.